Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener again today with the Living Savior Ministries. Let's come to the Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I worship you and praise you and thank you. I thank you for the privilege to be on this radio, Lord, to teach your word. And Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that you'll anoint this word as it goes forth. May it bless the minds and hearts of the men and women that'll hear this. May it bring many into Christ. May they come to know you as Lord and Savior. And those that already are your children, may they be strengthened and may they gain knowledge and wisdom from your word as I share the truths of the word of God with men and women today. And Satan, I rebuke you and I command you not to steal a word out of anybody's mind or heart today as the word goes out. Now I praise you and thank you, Father, as you reveal it to men and women in the name of Jesus. Well, praise the Lord. We're continuing to talk about God's purpose for the church and the reason that we're here. And I want to just, as we've talked the last 2 days, it must be clear from the teaching that we've done the last couple of days that redeemed humanity occupies a totally unique position in this magnificent place of the universe. That this is no attempt to appreciate the rank of angels or their radiant splendor or of their glory. Now, these angels are absolutely magnificently, wonderfully beautiful. They're majestic. They're powerful. And they're supernaturally intelligent. Now, they rule celestial domains of untold magnitude and of unconceivable grandeur. Now, their dazzling rank is further attested by the fact that they surround the throne of the Almighty and constitutes the court of the King of Kings. Now, exalted as these magnificent beings are, however, the highest ranking angel hovering over the throne of the Most High is outranked, now listen, wonder of wonders, by the most insignificant human being who has been born again, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Now, think about that magnificent promise. To think at where God has exalted us to, as sons and daughters, He has made us. Oh, goodness, He has just done awesome things. In other words, created originally in the image of God, redeemed humanity has been elevated by means of a divinely conceived genetic process known as the new birth to the highest rank of all created beings. He took not on Him the nature of angels, but He took on Him the seed of Abraham, because He wrote that for us in Hebrews 2. However else He might manifest Himself in nature, God could not become incarnate in angels because they are not created in the full image of God. Now, no other created being approaches the capacity of the human being to contain and utter God. Only man has a nature in which God can become incarnate. Now, God, you might say, tipped His hand, so to speak, in the incarnation. By this, He dignified the human race, and He elevated man, this redeemed humanity, beyond the highest ranking angels, and then above the highest, most ranking angelic star in the radiant canopy of the firmament. Now, because angels were not made in the image of God, and God could therefore not become incarnate in them, the fallen angels cannot be redeemed. No angel can ever become a congenial member of the family of God. They are created, not generated. They are created beings. Therefore, no angel can become a blood-born son of God. Angels can never have the heritage, the genes of God. They can never be partakers of the magnificent divine nature of God like we have the privilege. Now, none can ever become a member of the bridehood. These marks of privileges and rank have been reserved for redeemed humanity alone. What a privilege we have. When you begin to get a hold of what God has done for us. You can scarcely take it in. Now, which of the angels has been privileged to say, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God"? Or, "When he shall appear, we shall be like him"? Now, he wrote that for us in 1 John 3 and Hebrews 2. Now, in Hebrews 2, the Word of God says, "For both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren." Just think, we are brothers with Jesus. When you really begin to take this book literally, when you begin to get a hold of your position and who you are, it will just change your ever being. "Now, to which of the angels said he at any time, 'You are my brother, or sister, or mother'? We are all of one origin. We have been begotten by the same Father." Now, did he ever say of the angels, as he said of his disciples, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that they may be one, even as we are one? I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. I mean, as you begin to try to meditate on that scripture in John 17, it will absolutely just blow you away. Now, did Paul ever say of the angels, as he did of the church, that they constitute his body, of which he is the head, the fullness of him that filleth all in all, as he said in Ephesians 1? Did Paul say to angels or to the church, "Ye are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bone"? Well, he said it to the church. He never said it one time to angels. You are members of his body. He was talking about you and me, those of us that have become born-again believers of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this is not all. Now, we tread absolutely very softly and lightly here. I want you to think about what we read in 1 Corinthians 6. "He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit." Now, this union goes beyond a mere formal, functional, or idealistic harmony. It is an organic unity, an organic relationship of personalities. Now, though the new birth, or as we see through that new birth, we become bona fide members of the original cosmic family. We absolutely become sons of God. 1 John 3. Or in 2 Peter 1, he says we are partakers of the divine nature. We are begotten by him. We are absolutely sons of God. Think about that for a minute. Through the new birth, we become the next of kin to the Trinity, a kind of extension of the Godhead. Now, to think that this group outranks all other orders of created beings, it absolutely is just magnificently wonderful when you begin to get a hold of this. Because think of what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6. "Don't you know that someday we Christians are going to judge and govern the world?" I want you to meditate on that just a moment. I don't think we as Christians begin to comprehend the magnificence of that statement. Don't you realize that we Christians will judge and reward the very angels in heaven? Because that's written for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I had a Sunday school class one time, and I taught that 20 years ago. Well, no, not that long. 15 years ago. And I had people in my class as we went through 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I asked that question. I said, what do you think that means? And I didn't have a single person. I even had a person with a PhD in my class. I had other people that were school teachers with degrees, and not a single one of them could grasp that as to what that meant. And I told them, I said, folks, it means exactly what it says. We're going to judge the world. We're going to judge angels. We are created in the image of God. Now, here we're talking about a completely new, unique, and exclusive order of beings, which may be called a new species. There is nothing like it in all the kingdoms. This is the order of being which God envisioned when He spoke the worlds into being. This is the order of beings which Paul called the new man. In other words, this new human being is destined through the new birth to be in control of the universe someday. They form a new and exclusive royalty, a new ruling hierarchy who will also constitute the bride, the Lamb's wife. This order is divinely designated to be co-rulers or co-sovereign and co-administrators with Christ. Just think what we are to do. In fact, I was teaching a Bible study class several years ago, and I had some people from Christ for the Nations there, and I made that statement. I said, you know, who knows what eternity holds? One day God may walk up to us and say, my daughter, my son, we've been up here for 400 trillion years and the cosmos is getting crowded. Why don't you, now it's your turn, right off out yonder in the north where I got I got some more space out there, why don't you speak another galaxy into existence for me with about 50 planets and about 400 million light years across? Can you begin to comprehend that? Who knows what the Lord has for us in eternity? But He is training us to do something, to reign and rule with Him forever. I'd like to invite you to write me at the Living Savior Ministries, Box 35, Justin, Texas, 76247. Or you can give me a call at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. Or you can now find us on the web at www.tlsm.org, and there you can get our email. We'd like to invite you to our church every Sunday afternoon at 10921 in Shady Trail in North Dallas. We start at 2 p.m., go to 4 p.m. every Sunday afternoon.
I'd also like to invite you to my healing school. We have a healing school the second Saturday of every month. It's at 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. It starts at 1 p.m. until about 5 p.m. We pray for the sick, and we get to see the Lord do many wonderful things at the healing school. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ.